It is certainly not easy coming out of prison and having to restart your life, and it can be very easy to slip back into a life of crime. Tony Franklin, Charlie Bradford, they both served time in prison, and they're both now turning their life around, not least via a gardening project working with the Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust. The project's called Leaving Prison Behind, and it's enlisting the help of those that are homeless or indeed ex-offenders to landscape garden. Is that the verb? Is it to landscape garden? Jenny is from Emmaus, the homeless charity in St Albans, which is working alongside Hackrow on this project. And Tony and Charlie both join me in the studio. And both of you have a story to tell. Let's start with you, Charlie. You've done a couple of fair stretches, haven't you, for burglary and similar crimes?
Yeah, I have been in and out. There was a couple of years of my life where I was in and out. Well, I was out for a maximum of a month at a time. So this time I come out, changed it around.
You were in Bedford for a period of time. What's it like inside?
It's a scary place, to be honest with you. There's a lot of bigger, stronger, scarier people than you, all trying to be the biggest and the baddest.
And it's quite old-fashioned in terms of the building it's old, isn't it? It's falling apart in places.
It is, yeah, full of cockroaches. There are cells that aren't allowed to be opened because of the pure state of the place, basically.
Is that the big eye-opener? When you end up locked up, where you are, or where you were, you'd have been a biggish fish in a small pool. So you would commit in your crimes, and you had your area, your manor, your reputation. And then you go into prison, and basically you discover, to use your words, there's a whole load of people who are bigger, stronger, angrier, meaner than you, and who want to have their own territory.
Yeah. And you, like you said, you feel like a little fish in that pond, really, because half the people in there are there for bigger crimes. They've done worse than you. They want to be bigger and better than you. So
why do you end up going back? I make it sound like a shop, but what I mean is, why when you've served a stint at a prison like Bedford, why can't you come out and say to yourself, that's it, I'm done?
For me personally, I suppose you don't have the element of fear. Before I first went to jail, I was scared of it, because you read all the stories, you see all the films. But then once you get in there, it can be a different place. You can, if you do the right things and be with the right people, it can be easy. So you lose the element of fear, I suppose.
I'm interested that you're bordering on the edge of you know, some of my listeners will say prison is too easy, and you know, it's not a deterrent. Is that what you're saying, that actually it becomes almost manageable? Or what you are saying is, actually, it's still really tough, but at least I wasn't scared about it? I'm just trying to get the difference between the two.
It's a bit of both. I suppose it depends on you as a person. For me, I lost the element of fear, and I wasn't really bothered about going back, because you get to know a few people and things like that. So that was mine, losing the fear.
When you burgle a house, we've all been burgled at one point or another, and when you come back, it is, and I know, Tony, you were involved in burglary as well. When you come back and find that someone's been in your house, even if they've not taken anything, it feels really invasive and violating. When you're committing the burglary, is that going through your head at all? Are you conscious that you're really in someone's space?
I think at the end of the day, if I think back to when I was younger and I was out sort of committing burglaries and stuff like that, you don't think about the consequences, the victim, what they're going to come back, what they're going to feel. Basically, you're there for a reason, to make a bit of money. I remember sort of looking at it was almost like a job. I was going out and I was sort of doing what I knew best as a kid, that could make me some money to fund my drug habit. So yeah, I think you don't think of the consequences. It's only when you start getting older and you get free of that life that you can actually think back and think what I put those people through, when they must have come and opened up their door and seen the place was a mess and what had gone on and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's,
you had a need and a job to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that was the overall ride, in fact, was with regards to me, with the likes of sort of heroin and sort of crack cocaine, is heroin to fund my habit. So, yeah, that was the drive of it all, was to fund my habit. So.
This is not in any way aimed at glorifying crime, but did either of you enjoy the criminal part of your lifestyle? Did you get a buzz from it?
I'd say the adrenaline rush. For me personally, it was the chase that was the fulfillment for me, that being chased by the police, or if you've been chased by a homeowner or something like that, that adrenaline rush and that thrill.
And I think with regards to me, it was solely about I had to do it for a reason. If I didn't need the drugs, then I might not have committed the crime, although I did do petty crimes to sort of fund sort of smoking cannabis and having drink with your mates and stuff like that. But yeah, ultimately, I think it was more about the habit than the thrill. Not to say that you don't, because you do get an adrenaline rush when you're doing something. I suppose like some people go to a theme park and get on a ride, that type of thing. So you do get that, but that wasn't the reason why I would.
It's interesting you said that, because I was about to come back with a very similar point. That I think as humans, we all require an adrenaline rush. It's part of how we're built. So some people get it, as you say, going to a theme park. Some get it through sex. Some people get it through watching a football team. Although watching my football team at the moment, I'm an Arsenal fan. It's not much of an adrenaline rush there at all. More of a soporific sleep. But no, I think as humans we need that adrenaline rush, and I wonder whether from what you're saying, Charlie and Tony as well, that crime is that adrenaline rush miswired, because you know you're getting the rush from the drugs that's then leading to the crime, you're getting the rush from the running away, the chase, and actually coming out of being an offender is about finding a different place to get that buzz. Is that a fair comment, Charlie?
I'd say it is. Yeah, you need a new outlook, something to put all your motivation and put all your motivation into one place, really, and just keep on top of it rather than slipping back.
Do you remember the moment where you found that new motivation?
I think it just come to me in my cell one day. Basically, I was sitting in Bedford, and I thought to myself, I've done four sentences back to back. I've not even had 2 months outside, basically. I thought to myself, this isn't really what I want anymore.
What about you, Charlie? You, Tony, because your mind was clouded, obviously, by heroin and crack. Were you able to have that lucid moment at some point?
Mine was wanting to live a normal life. Like I say, it wasn't about the... I don't like theme parks, so I can't get on rides. And I recently went on a ride with my daughter.
Bad idea.
Yeah. No, that's it. So it wasn't
about... That's for other people to do, Tony.
No, that's it. Yeah. So it wasn't about the rush or anything like that. So I think at the end of the day, trying to find something else to do with your time. So that's why I'm sort of passionate about now the work that I'm doing and the projects that we run is diverting away from what sort of people are used to and the life cycle that you get involved in.
I wonder, Jenny, the work that you do at Emmaus, I know you very well. I know some of your what can I call them?
We call them companions.
Yes, I know some of the people who use your services very well indeed. You must see this a lot, that there is this vicious cycle of crime, homelessness, and equally importantly, complete destruction of self-esteem and a notion of what a person is about, and that only goes one way.
Yeah, absolutely. A sort of a spiral revolving door, people call it. And really, the work that we do is so important to see, you know, the moment at which Charlie and Tony decided, made that internal decision. That's when support services can really enhance the life of that individual or can really sort of help them get to where they want to be. But it's waiting for that moment to happen.
And here's the interesting thing, because actually it has to be that moment. I mean, I'm sure, Tony, have you been involved in 12-step and...
No. My thing was, I suppose, is hitting rock bottom.
Yeah,
and that was my turning point. So to a point where I nearly lost my life, made me realise that actually I want to live a normal life like I see everyone else living. I don't want to be dependent on these drugs no more. I don't want to have to go out there and commit crime. I just want a normal life, just to settle down.
And of course, I mentioned 12-step, but the point with 12-step is you accept that you've hit rock bottom, and most importantly as well, as you were hinting there, Jenny, you take responsibility, because you cannot rehabilitate yourself, be it from a life of crime or drugs, unless you say, this is my bag, this is what I'm about, this is my responsibility. until you hit that moment, you can't help, can you?
Yeah, exactly. Support services such as, or charities such as HACRA and Emmaus can really provide the individuals with the tools, but it really has to be them that uses them and chooses that they want to use them at that time.
Do you see that moment? Do you see the penny drop?
You can almost see it with some people, and some people come in and out, and Emmaus is able to accept people two or three times over because you are waiting for that moment when they make that internal decision.
What happens if the moment never comes? You must see that as well.
Yeah, but I do think their moment will come at some point. It may be 10, 15, 20 years later, but it's just making sure that they will always know that there is that opportunity when they are ready.
Tony, for you, working with social enterprises, people who understand your past has always been very important, hasn't it?
Yeah, so I suppose my story, it started hard drugs at a young age, and then went through sort of some bad things in my life, then decided I want to sort myself out, I want to live a normal life. Then started working for a furniture company, criminal record. I haven't actually, I know you did mention earlier that been to prison. I haven't actually been to prison. Okay. And basically,
it was a suspended sentence, yours, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I got a suspended sentence. So it's me and my best mate were both up in Crown Court for a load of sort of burglaries. I sort of knuckled down and done what the judge told us to do. My mate didn't.
Wait, a he or she? Was it
It was a he.
And he literally said, sort yourself out.
Yeah, go to school, make sure you comply with sort of youth probation and everything else. My best mate didn't. He got 2 years in Feltham. I got a 2-year suspended sentence. Some of it was thankful to the sort of youth probation because they set me up a tutor that used to come to my house. She wrote me a nice report. So then come through all of that.
Did you charm her?
Well, I think at the end of the day, I'd done what was asked of me,
yeah,
and she come to my house. It wasn't putting me out. No one knew about the drugs until I got later on in life, and to the point where I nearly lost my life. Then
why?
It was, what's that?
Why?
Because I got involved in basically people that I used to get my drugs off of, and me being a youngster at the time saying, why don't you come and drop a little sort of parcels here and there, so okay. Be a runner for them. So set me up in a flat. My family thought I was an apprentice painter or a decorator. Everyone thought that actually he's doing something with his life.
Around, yeah.
But literally to the point where I was sort of, yeah, there was a few points where I sort of held up with a gun and stuff like that. And it was all to do with people, the drug line, people trying to rob the drug line. Then it went, so I got out of that. Started work for a furniture company, got made redundant, moved from London up to Hertfordshire, got made redundant, and then found myself with a criminal record, no qualifications. Yeah.
Who
do I
wants
do?
You? Yeah.
That's why I found an organisation called SOVA, which was all about sort of volunteering with people on probation orders. That led into me thinking, do you know what, I want to do more. It was the heart of the recession, I was applying for so many jobs. Then I went to the Princess Trust and I went on their enterprise program to set up my own business.
There was Time for Change, that was called.
Yeah,
what did that do?
Basically working with prolific offenders in Hertfordshire, just like Jenny said, giving them the tools, setting up the environment, because I know, we can't change somebody, but it's just setting up the environment so they can bring about the change themselves. So I started up my own social enterprise, working with HACRA or Leaving Prison Behind.
Just, Jenny, HACRA is what? It's the ex-offenders charity, isn't it?
Yeah, so HACRA is the ex-offenders charity in Hertfordshire. And Emmaus has been working with HACRA for about 2 years, sharing resources, providing opportunities for each other's volunteers, and working together wherever we can, really.
So go on, so you got involved with HACRA?
Yep, so got involved with HACRA, Leaving Prison Behind, working one-to-one, so Time to Change in HACRA and Leaving Prison Behind, working one-to-one with prolific offenders that were not engaging, sometimes non-stat, so not on probation and stuff like that.
Non-stat, what does that mean?
That used to be the term before, because now things have changed, that when you come out of prison, you would be on a licence and stuff, but before you could come out, and yeah, so it was non-statutory, So literally they wouldn't be on probation, wouldn't be sort of non-engaging with other agencies.
So they were kind of slipping through the net.
Yeah. So and then there were some very positive sort of outcomes with the people. So myself and Hat Crow, as Leaving Prison Behind, were working with. Then it was said about, so with Hertfordshire Police and Bench Probation, is about working on sort of community projects where we get I could work with a group because there's only a limited amount of people I could work with one-to-one. And then started up community projects, which were all around Hertfordshire, where the guys would come, get work ready, learn new skills. And that's where, off of the back of the projects, that we set up a project and a partnership with Emmaus.
It's interesting, when you look at the work that Tony's doing, for example, Jenny, having that peer mentorship, someone who's been in as much trouble... I was trying to find a word that I could say at lunchtime. It's been as much trouble as Tony had. The inspiration, the aspiration of working with a peer mentor like that is going to be very powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of our residents, to the volunteers that work with Tony, it's really important because I haven't been there. I can only imagine what they've gone through. I can only imagine what their motivations. So it's really important to have someone that can anticipate what they might be thinking, what they might be feeling, and to be able to pick someone up when they may be falling is really important.
How did the Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust get involved? Because they're a redoubtable organisation. They do wonderful trails and events for our young children. How did they get involved in this?
So they contacted us one day. They'd received some money through Tesco Bags of Help to extend their wildlife garden in Verulam Park in St Albans, and really wanted homeless individuals or people that were that needed some help in St Albans to be able to do the project. So they contacted us, and with our partnership through Hat Crow, our volunteers and Hat Crow volunteers have been going down on a Friday and starting that work.
And what is happening on a Friday?
So we are, whether it be rain or beautiful sunshine like today, hopefully it will be on Friday, we are redeveloping the wildlife garden, digging paths, laying hardcore down, planting native hedgerows, and really working from a design to create this wildlife garden for the residents of St Albans.
You've gone from hardcore drugs to a very different kind of hardcore there, Tony.
No, that's it. So, and I think it's that opportunity for the guys to volunteer.
It was a gift.
So I know that. So now I am now employed by Hat Crow to work on this new Hertfordshire Building Better Opportunities project, which is all about sort of trying to reach the hardest to reach to get to overcome the barriers into employment. So there's sort of three different strands and stuff like that. This enables me to now not just work with the likes of Charlie on a project, but throughout the week as well. So whether it be looking for work, looking for training and stuff like that.
Charlie, what are you getting out of it?
Me, personally, I get the feel-good factor of doing good for other people rather than just being selfish, basically.
Jenny, this is all so simple. Doesn't it break your heart a little bit? When you see it described like this, when you see that by meeting certain needs, by building self-esteem, by housing, by giving ex-offenders an income, by incorporating them into the community, it's easy. Why do we not do it more?
It sounds easy when you're talking about it on the radio, but when you talk about all the different agencies that
the
need
level
to
of
be
resource
involved,
required,
exactly,
yeah.
And it is that old adage of statutory organisations, charitable organisations, all working together, and hopefully this Building Better Opportunities initiative, which involves a whole host of different charities and organisations, will aim to achieve that. It does sound simple, but you need the person to be ready. And you need all the different organisations to work together.
Are you suggesting that statutory organisations, just between you and I, sometimes don't necessarily communicate in the most open and easy ways?
I think lack of resources and funding doesn't help that nowadays.
I take that as possibly then. Before you go, Emmaus, you need our stuff, don't you?
We need your furniture, yes. So our social enterprise funds the charitable work that we do with the homeless, and so you can donate your secondhand furniture to our stores all around Hertfordshire, and there's one in Barnet as well. We also need volunteers, so you can come and help us.
You once did a really nice thing, because I had one of those really big old CRT televisions, and I lugged it into the car, and I lugged it to St Albans, and I got there and they went, oh, we don't take those anymore. And I went, please. States and they took my big television.
Yeah, it's as an exception for you.
It's likely still in your storage somewhere.
I think it's probably in one of the back offices.
The Nick Coffer Memorial Telly.
I hope
probably.
You signed it for us.
I don't know where I was at the time. Tony, Charlie, I appreciate you being so open and frank about your stories, which I'm sure will have inspired a number of my listeners.
Could I just add something? Obviously, there's going to be a lot of your listeners out there that might have family members or might have sort of come against sort of problems and gone down the wrong road, like myself and Charlie. So there's obviously the likes of sort of Hacker out there, volunteering opportunities and stuff like that. So I would say for the same as Emmaus as well with regards to volunteers, but if someone wants to sort of jump onto the Hacker website, if there is any support, it is a Hertfordshire. So the work I do is based in Hertfordshire because it's the Building Better Opportunities project. But if there's people outside, I could always signpost. I would always be in here if someone wants some advice and stuff like that.
Brilliant. So. And the website is hacro.org.uk. And I guess if there's one thing to come out of you and Charlie talking to us today, it's that there are other ways. There are ways of changing that path, changing that course. And if you are the parent or a grandparent or you look after someone or you love someone who is in trouble, number one, show them some compassion. And number two, there are ways to find a way through. Yep. Great. I've enjoyed meeting all three of you.
Emmaus.org.uk/St Albans.
Great stuff. You're listening to Nick Coffer. It's BBC Three Counties Radio.